Our next speaker is, I beg your pardon. Ashley, are there any quick questions? We usually have time for one or two between. No? Okay. Our next speaker is Mary Kay Reyes, who is a professor at the University of Kentucky College of Nursing and Public Health. And she's also the co-director of the University of Kentucky Tobacco Policy Research Program.
Good afternoon. I've had a nice introduction already, so I won't belabor that. Included on this project are several colleagues that I have at the University of Kentucky listed here. And this is a project actually that we received funding for from NHLBI. And we are actually in the first year of a five-year project, the purpose of which is to examine factors associated with leadership, a dimension of community readiness for smoke-free policy development in rural Kentucky communities. And if you're not familiar with sort of the tobacco policy situation in Kentucky, we're kind of we're chasing the big dogs. Kentucky is a state that has a disproportionate burden of tobacco use. We routinely have among the highest smoking prevalence in the country, and it's something that, you know, many of us in the state are working to try to overcome, and this is one of the steps that we've started with. As some background, smoke-free laws, another little piece of background, this would make sense to you, this would be intuitive, but smoke-free policy development is far more likely to occur in urban areas. That's probably kind of a duh, but we actually have a smoke-free law, a pretty comprehensive smoke-free law in Lexington, where I'm from, which is great because, you know, I totally take for granted being able to go anywhere and enjoy the same benefits that you all in California have had for years. But you don't have to go very far outside of Lexington, and it's all smoky again. So, in particular, Kentucky is disproportionately affected by this, and rural areas of Kentucky even more so. So we know that smoke-free laws reduce community smoking rates, they improve health outcomes, yet rural communities are less likely to enact them compared with urban areas. In one Wisconsin study, experienced coalitions and large numbers of citizen supporters characterized successful smoke-free campaigns in that area. What we wanted to do with this baseline data collection for this community policy development project was to look at what community factors are associated with leadership for developing this kind of policy, and to determine whether leadership is related to other community readiness dimensions, and I'll tell you a little bit more about what I mean by that. So we have these represent the baseline findings from a five-year randomized controlled trial to test the effects of a state-specific tailored community readiness intervention on smoke-free policy outcomes in rural Kentucky. And we have 30 Kentucky communities that we looked at in baseline in six readiness dimensions, and I'll explain that a little more in detail what those are. In the intervention study, since this is baseline, this is all pre-intervention, but there were 22 counties that were randomized to the intervention group and then 8 control counties. And when I say stage-specific tailored, what we did was use the information from the baseline data collection to determine where a particular county was in terms of developing coalitions, in terms of getting people, the stakeholders there in that community involved, engaged, interested, that type of thing, and then to try to find out how could we as a group that knows some things about developing these types of policies, how could we use our information to help them move it to the next step, whatever the next step was for them. The responses of each county's key informants were aggregated to create a county-level measure for each readiness dimension and overall score. And the measures, the key measure that we looked at to begin with was leadership. So again, this is leadership in terms of taking those steps to develop a smoke-free policy. This was looking at how coalition leaders, health department officials, government officials, and business leaders, how all of those stakeholders would work together or what level of interest they had in developing this type of policy. Other readiness dimensions that we also looked at were the political climate in the county, the community climate, and again, these are related towards the development of smoke-free policy, resources that the community had available for this type of work, the policies that were already in place, whether it was, you know, voluntary policies or the like. And then what level of knowledge did those stakeholders have about the awareness of the dangers of secondhand smoke and the existing policies in the area? The county level characteristics that we looked at were the population size, unemployment rate, smoking prevalence, income, and so on. An interesting thing that pertains to us in Kentucky is a lot of these rural counties in particular grow burley tobacco. So their ties to tobacco are not just through the prevalence of smoking, but also through the economic benefit of being the sellers of burley tobacco. So we looked. That was one of the things that we looked at. The number of tobacco control staff per 10,000 population, and then interestingly, whether the county had unlimited alcohol sales. And that's something else that, you know, we're sort of in the Bible Belt there, and we have counties, particularly rural counties, that are dry counties that do not allow alcohol sales. So in those counties, you know, anyone who wants to buy alcohol or have alcohol at a restaurant would have to go to a different county. So that was one of the things that we looked at to see if there was a link between smoke-free policy development and what their alcohol policy was. We obtained these data from the census, the BRFSS, the burley production was from the U.S. Department of Ag and the Kentucky Department of Public Health. We have 30 communities, so this is just a brief overview of what it looked like. You can see that the average, for example, these are relatively small counties. In Kentucky, there are 120 counties, and it's a state that's not very populous to begin with, so the average county size was around 25,000 persons in each county. The unemployment rate's a little higher than in urban areas in our state. The smoking prevalence is very high. Income, average income, 31,000. About 1 million pounds of burley produced per county in these 30 counties, and a very small number of tobacco control staff per 10,000. Oh, and then just as a note, one-fifth of these counties were wet counties that allowed unlimited alcohol sales, and the other 80% had limitations on alcohol sales. This was looking at how that leadership variable that, again, we determined by interviewing a number of stakeholders playing different roles within the county, how that leadership variable was related to these county demographics. And you can see that the most striking thing was burley production. There was a negative correlation between burley production and leadership, whereby the more burley produced by a county, the lower their leadership score. Leadership scores were also lower in dry counties, or I should say non-wet counties, because we have dry counties and moist counties, which really, they allow alcohol sales, but only certain times of the week, and et cetera, et cetera. So we compared the leadership score in wet counties compared to those that were not wet, where the wet counties had significantly higher leadership scores compared with non-wet. These are the correlations of the leadership score with the other five dimensions of community readiness for smoke-free policy development. You can see there's a lot of correlations there. The community climate was positively correlated, as was existing smoke-free policies and knowledge. So for the counties that scored high on these other characteristics, they were also high in leadership. Then we looked at a couple of different regression models, and because we have a limited sample size, we had to really constrain the number of variables that we could put in there. But this shows that the burley production and the indicator for whether it was a wet county or not and existing policies were all predictive of leadership. Again, along the lines that we would think, that the more burley that was produced, the lower the leadership score. Wet counties had a higher leadership score, and those with existing policies in the county also had a higher leadership score. Higher tobacco production, I just sort of said this, so I'll skip right through it, but I will skip right through it. Communities with more existing smoke-free public places, workplaces, and schools are more likely to have higher leadership scores. Of the three significant predictors, the amount of burley tobacco produced was the strongest, followed by unlimited alcohol sales indicator and existing policy scores. the implications for this are that we as, you know, as persons in the state who are interested in promoting smoke-free policy development need to use these opportunities to educate and cultivate community leaders within the communities, particularly in tobacco growing communities, and to reassure tobacco growers, particularly about their fears with concerning economic loss and by educating about global markets. And a lot of this is tied into, you know, the tobacco buyout, so a lot of people are being pressured not to grow tobacco as much anymore, so, you know, there's a lot of political things going on. The other thing would be to promote voluntary smoke-free policy in rural communities, particularly as a stepping stone to a more regulatory type of thing, and that we know further research is needed to investigate what exactly it means, this link between alcohol policy and tobacco control policy in our state. And that's my presentation. Thank you. Okay.
Do you have any questions for Dr. Reyes? Go ahead.
Here's the dilemma with that. It's really compelling to say it would be great to push for a state law. We have relatively strong laws in Fayette County, which is Lexington.